This is just okay. So basically, we're continuing here with trying to figure out what case Ram's talking about in Erevin. Okay, which case he's talking about. So, by the way, the Kesef Mishnah learns he's Tomei Erechatzeros. The Meiri, I didn't look at the Meiri yet. And I think I might have a long time ago, but I wanted to look at it tonight, but I didn't get a chance. But the Meiri learns he's Tomei Erev Tchumen. So, it's interesting. But we have to get to, we'll get to figures. By the way, I mean, just to support, I mean, the question is what the Rambam is talking about. So, someone else, by the way, asked the same question that we're asking. Well, I'll talk about it. So basically the problem is that the Rambam says that if you do a mitzvah, which is for yourself and for others, then it depends if it's chova or not chova. Okay, if it's not chova, if it's an obligation, so then you basically make le. If it's not chova, then you say al. And that's why you say al on erev. Al mitzvah erev. Okay, so the implication is that really, in theory, erev should get, in theory, could have gotten a le bracha. Conceptually, it could have gotten a le. The only problem is that since it's an obligation on the group, or since it's an institution for a group, achera, you and others, so then, when it's instituted for a group and it's not an obligation, so then you say al. Okay? Then you say al. And the question is, so which Erev is the Ram talking about? Okay? Now, the problem is, because the Ram says later, that any mitzvah which is purely optional, totally optional, like slaughtering or like washing your hands, automatically gets al. Okay? You're for yourself, not for yourself, who really cares? Don't do that, just you can't say le. It's not an obligation, so you have to say al. So if that's the case, so the question is by Erev, what does he have to say? It's because Erev you're doing for yourself and for others. Just say it straight. It's simpler, much simpler than that. It's just it's not an obligation. And mitzvahs aren't obligations, you always say al. But that's the basic question. You want to simplify the problem. Okay? Right. So because on the surface, every Erev is totally optional. That's the problem. On the surface, every Erev is totally optional. For instance, Erev Tchumim is if you want to extend your boundary. Tchumim is your boundary. If you want to extend your boundary, Erev Tchumim is totally optional. You don't have to extend your border. You could. In fact, I know the Ravid holds you don't even make a bracha on Erev Tchumim. Because he says it's a totally optional thing. There's no... No, luckily, you see, it's not even a mitzvah, it's not even anything.
Do you have
yes. I know, it's a good question, but that's what I know. It's a good question why, what his problem is. But he says, at least in an Erev, in a Shabbos, the Erev Chatzeros, by the courtyard, at least you're showing it's not Rosh Hashanah or whatever, there's some idea there. But this is just totally an optional thing. And even though the halacha is you're only allowed to make an Erev, you're not allowed, I don't know if we hold this, I'm not sure, but he says, even though you're only allowed to make an Erev for a mitzvah, you can't just stop making Erev Tchumim because you want to, it's only because you want to travel somewhere for a mitzvah. He says, but whatever, that's still a totally separate thing. That's just a separate mitzvah, it's not the mitzvah of the Erev. So therefore he says, how could you say Vitzivan while mitzvah is Erev? There's no obligation at all. So it's a good question, I mean, what does he do with Shechita, for instance, but whatever. Leave it aside. I'm just saying, as you see, it's an optional thing. So Erev Tchumim is optional. If you want to extend your boundary, I mean, you don't need to write it, it's clear. So if you want to extend your boundary, then you're good. If you don't, you don't. And Erev Tavshil, if you want to cook from Shofim Yom Tov to Shabbos, so you're good. If you don't want to, you don't have to. And Erev Chasid says, if you want to carry in this courtyard, then do it. If you don't, don't. Right? So they're all optional. And the Rambam's rule is that if something which is optional, say it gets all. So why does the way in this halacha he presents it that really this is not that kind of mitzvah? Really, this is a mitzvah which really should get le.
If what?
If you were doing it for yourself alone, yeah. If it were possible. I mean, it's in the framework of discussing doing it for yourself, doing it for others, and there. But the reason why it doesn't get le is because you're doing it for yourself and for others, and it's not obligatory. It's not mandatory. It's not chova.
Is it even possible to do these mitzvahs for yourself alone?
Not clear. It doesn't have to be possible. You could learn that the Rambam means that Erev gets al because it's always done for yourself and for others, and therefore this is a model example where you do something for yourself and for others, and it's not a chova, and therefore you say al. Or you could learn it's a kind of erev which could be for yourself and for others, and or could be for yourself alone. And this is talking about when you do it for yourself and for others, then you say al, but when you don't, you'd say le. Just from the Rav, you don't know. Is it talking about that erev? Does he mean, because he says, therefore you say al mitzvah erev. Does he mean, therefore you always say al mitzvah erev, or does he mean, therefore when you do it for yourself and for others, you say al mitzvah erev? You don't know.
But either way, your question of it being voluntary would apply.
But either way, I'm just saying is, either way,
conceptually, primary.
Conceptually, the thing is basically it's not a chiv, and therefore the Rav has a primary rule, is that if it's not a chiv, you don't say bracha.
Even if you could work out a case where you're doing it for yourself.
Right, even if you could, right. Still, you should always say al. And even if you say there is no case that you're doing it for yourself, still, this isn't the reason why you're saying al. Oh, this is like assuming it's mandatory or it's not divrishus. It's there's some type of chiyuv. Then you can discuss it for yourself, then for others, then all that stuff. But otherwise, you just say simpler that the thing is rishus. I'm not. You could argue. I'm not saying you can't. I mean, you could argue that really. It is optional, and really, it really would have gotten all anyways. It would have gotten all anyways, because it's optional. The only thing is that this is before the Rambam brought that in. The Rambam just saying is that even in terms of the rules of
of
chova with you and others, it gets an all, because you're doing it for yourself and for others. And you could say that. And then later, he'd be telling you, even if you do it for yourself, it's going to get all, because, you know, he doesn't say that, but then from the later rule, you could say that. I just think it's not so as smooth. I don't think it's as smooth. It's not so smooth to say that. I mean, it does sound, lefikach umvarach al mitzerev, it sounds like that's why in general you say al mitzerev. It doesn't say, lefikach, if you do an erev for yourself and for others, it sounds like in general. I mean, there are two cases, if they're talking about, let's say, erev tavshilin. So there's two cases of Erev Tavshilin. Either you do it for yourself, or you do it for yourself and others. So you should say, therefore, if you do it for yourself and others, you say, you know, Al Tzeirah. Whereas by the event of saying something about Erev Tzeirah, it's always you doing it for yourself and for others. So it's good that he says, therefore, you say Al Tzeirah. So he doesn't have to say if. You know, I mean, but you could say, look, that's what it means. It's clear.
So again, when you ask your question...
But if you want to, if you agree with the way I'm reading it, that this is... That this is cases which are really are chova or ain't chova, they're not cases, and which sounds like it. I mean, it fits into the class of the, if you look at the three classes, chova, ain't chova, and divrei rishas. Then the Rambam in Yodalad by Erev is talking about something which is ain't chova, the middle category, right? And the problem is, which Erev is ain't chova? Aren't all Erevs divrei rishas?
Right.
I mean, that's another way to ask the question.
Yeah.
No? That's a smoother way to ask the question. More convincing. Right? I mean, there's three categories. So it sounds like he's talking about here and here, which is not the Bereshus. Because otherwise, it should really belong to the last category. It shouldn't be in this discussion. So if that's the case, it would seem that there is an Erev, which is really an Enochova. Not
like,
the Bereshus.
Like
Mezuzah. Like Mezuzah or whatever. There's an Erev, which really fits into the category of Enochova, which really should get a bracha. In theory, could get le. Theory could get le if you're doing it for yourself. But if you're doing it for yourself and for others, therefore it doesn't. And I'm saying, if that's the case, if you take that as a given, that there is one, then you have to choose which one. So now, here's the clear fact. Erev Tchumim and Erev Tavshilin could definitely be done only for yourself. Okay, and therefore, if you learn that he's talking about one of those, then you're going to have to say leh if you do it only for yourself. But the Rambam doesn't seem to say that anywhere. So it doesn't seem like, if you look at those halachas, by Erev Tavshilin definitely says al always, and by Erev Tchumen he just says it's the same as Erev Chatzeros.
Why would you say leh? You'd say leh because
he's doing it only for yourself. But which one is he talking about? Again, which one is he talking about, which is Enochova? Because my Enochova's deal is, if you do it for yourself alone, you say Le. If you do yourself and for others, you say Al.
Oh, I see.
So which one? So what about the cases? By Erev Tchum and by Erev Tavshilin, you could do it only for yourself. There's a case like that. So according to, if you say that's what he's talking about here in the Hilchos Brachos, the Enochova, then if you do it for yourself, you should say Le.
Right.
that Vayev Tchum Tavshilmi definitely doesn't say Leh, and therefore that's why no one learns it. So, well, no, I don't know, he does. I don't know how the other one can learn. No, I forget, the Miri learns what I said. The Miri learns he's talking about Tchum, right. So Vayev Tavshilmi definitely not. Because Vayev Tavshilmi definitely doesn't say Leh. Okay, so therefore it can't be that. And Vayev Tchum, and also it doesn't seem from the Rambam that he ever says Leh. Because he says that by Erev Tchumen you say the bracha the same as by Erev Chatzeros. By Erev Chatzeros, you definitely always do it for yourself. I'm sorry, for yourself and for others. And if by Erev Chatzeros, you definitely always say Ah. Okay, so the problem is, it doesn't seem that there's ever a case that the Rambam says Leh. So if the Rambam in the Hilchos Brachos here is talking about Erev Tchumen or Erev Tashilin, they should be Leh somewhere. But there isn't. So therefore, it would seem that why is there never Leh? Because he's talking about Erev Chatzeros, and Erev Chatzeros is always for yourself and for others, and therefore it's always Al. Okay, but the problem then is, oh, but why is Erev Chatzeros in the category of Enachova? Why don't you say it's really like the Rishos, it's totally optional? But it's not. There are other Dhamma's placing in the category of things which are somewhat obligatory or whatever, just not obligatory. So then our job is, if we're following good deductions here, we have to look into what's the difference between Erev Chatzeros and the other Erev, such that it fits in the category of Nechova, but the other ones are going to fit in the category of the other Rishos. So if that's the case, okay, this is all the background. So let's look at Hilchos Erev. Again, if you didn't follow all this, the punchline is that we're concluding that Erev Chatzeros is different than the other Erevs, in that it is considered, in a certain sense, it's Enochova. It's not totally Devarei Rishos. It's not totally optional. But it's somewhat mandatory, whatever that means. Okay? So let's look at the Hilchos Erev Chatzeros. Okay, let's look at the Halachos. Let's try to figure out a little bit about Erev Chatzeros. So we don't know anything about Erev Chatzeros, so let's just figure out, starting from the top. Okay? So again, I'm going to basically, I think I started talking about this a little bit yesterday, but I'm going to do it in English, just because, you know, I don't want to go back and forth here, okay? It's going to take a long time. There's a bunch of halachas. So basically, follow me here. So it's a courtyard. Did we do this yesterday?
No.
Okay, so a courtyard which has many neighbors. Each one has their own house. See? What's that?
Which halacha is this?
Erevin Aleph Aleph. Very beginning of Erevin. Okay, so a courtyard, again, the way they had these courtyards, these houses which opened up to a common courtyard. Okay, and it's surrounded with walls. Okay, so it says, so a courtyard which has many neighbors, each one's house opening up into this courtyard. So min haTorah, you're all allowed to carry in the entire courtyard, and from your houses to the courtyard, and the courtyard to your houses, because the whole courtyard is one Rosh HaSeyachid, and you're allowed to carry in the whole thing. Okay, it's all one Rosh HaSeyachid. It's all, Rosh HaSeyachid means private domain. It's all private because it's all surrounded with walls. Okay, fine. I'm jumping. This is the halacha min haTorah. Okay, and there are other cases, but let's keep it simple. Fine. But, halacha beis, but midrabanan, the rabbis said it prohibited for the neighbors, all these people, to carry in a private domain which is split in its dwellers. In other words, this courtyard is private, yet it has multiple dwellers. So then they can't carry in this courtyard until they all join together from Erev Shabbos. Or join together, Erev, Achiyarvu Kul, until they all join together from Erev Shabbos. Okay, and this is set up by Shlomo, King Solomon, in his court. Okay, this is an old Rabbanan. Okay? So again, they're not allowed to carry in this courtyard until they make an Erev from beforehand. Okay, now I'm going to read again also. It's a little complicated, but it's not that complicated, but you'll see why. And also, people who dwell in tents. Let's say you have a camp full of tents, right? And you have walls around it, right? Same thing. He says they can't carry from one tent to the other one until they all make an Erev, until they all join together. But if they're one shayara, okay, one caravan which travels together, because they're all one unit, they're traveling together. They're not independent guys who happen to be camped out, but they're one travel caravan. And they're surrounded with the mechitza, they don't need to make an Erev. But then they could carry without an Erev. Because they're already joined together. Right? They're already joined together. Okay, they're already joined together. They're already, because they're one caravan, they're all traveling together, so you don't have to actually make an Erev. The idea of the Erev is to join them together, to show that they're all one thing. But here they're already all one thing. They're already one caravan, they're traveling together. And okay, now the Rambam says in Halacha Daled, and why did Shlomo set this up? Why is it us? Look, from the according to the Torah, you're allowed to carry in this courtyard. Why did Shlomo do this? He says, in order that people don't make a mistake. In order that people don't make a mistake and think and say, just like it's permitted to carry from the courtyard to the streets and to the stores and to bring into all these courtyards, similarly it's permitted to carry from this courtyard all the way into the public domains. Okay, and they're going to think that the problem is there's more cases here, but let me just explain to you. I mean, I skipped some of the cases, so you have to fully follow. But basically, it's like this. You're going to think that you see you're allowed to carry from the houses to the courtyard, even though the courtyard is a public domain. Right? It's not really public, but it's lived in and used by many people. And they're going to think, oh, you're allowed to carry from private domains to public domains. It's not really public, but it looks public to them, because everyone's sharing it. It's many people using it. So they're going to think, basically, that you're allowed to carry from private to public. That's what they're going to think. So therefore, right, he says, now, halacha hay, he says, again, I'm kind of skimming some stuff out of here. So if you read it more carefully, you'll see there are certain details which are not essential. Okay? He says, therefore, halacha hay, he set up that every time that you have a private domain which is split up in its dwellers, okay, so there are many dwellers who share this private domain, and each one of them has, okay, and basically you have a setup where you have the private domain, the houses, and within this big one private domain, there is a split between the ones which are only lived in by individuals, the houses, and then the courtyard, which is lived in by many, shared by many. Whenever you have that type of a setup, where you have one big private domain which is split by the private and the private public, okay, and the courtyard which is used by many, that you consider the public part of it, the courtyard part of it, as a public domain. Okay, and you consider only the houses as private, and it's going to turn out that it's prohibited to carry from your houses to the courtyard, just like it's prohibited to carry from a regular private domain into the highway. Okay, rather, each person should only use his own house, his own private house, until they all make an error. Okay, until they make an error. So it's prohibited to do this. It's funny how he says this, but it's prohibited to carry until you make an error. Okay? So far, so good? Okay, and now he says, and what is this error? Okay, what is this error? What error? What does that do? He says, namely, that they all join together in one food that they put together on Friday. And namely to say, okay, he's putting words into the Erev, okay, but the Erev is saying that we are all joined together and we all share one food. And each one of us is not setting up our own private sector, but just like we all share in this Erev and in the location of where this food is, so too, we're sharing in all the places, in all the courtyard, in the whole deal. We're all together. We're all one thing.
It has to be in the courtyard,
or
it could be in one of the houses.
I'm not sure. Okay, and through this, the people aren't going to get confused and to think that you're allowed to carry from private to public. Okay, what they're basically saying is the Erev is explaining itself. The Erev is joining together, and it's saying out loud, "This is the idea." That just like we're all joined together in this food and in the location where this food is stored, we're really all joined together everywhere, and we're all really one big private domain. And therefore, the fact that we're carrying all around this thing is because we're all private. But you can't carry. Don't think for a second that you could carry onto I-95, onto the highway. That's a whole different thing. Okay, and therefore, by doing so, so that no one's going to make this mistake. Okay? By doing so, no one's going to make this mistake. So he said, again, the main line here, which I'm interested in this here, the way he says it is, that it's usur to, it's prohibited to carry, until they make an Erev. Okay? Okay? It's prohibited to carry until they make an Erev. Okay? Let's now look at in Hilchos Yontif, by where he talks about Erev Tov Shilin. And you'll see, he formulates that a little bit differently. Okay? He formulates that a little bit differently. Okay. This is in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Vav Halacha. We read this yesterday. Okay? And basically he says, the Yontif that comes out on Friday, right, remember? You're not allowed to cook from Yontif until for Shabbos. And this Isser is, this prohibition is Midrabanan, so that you don't come to cook from Yontif to Chol, to a regular weekday. Fine. Therefore, if you make an Erev Tav Shilin that you rely on, if you set aside this Erev on Wednesday, which you're relying on, then it's Mutter, then it's permitted. Okay, and this is called an Erev Tav Shilin. Again, it's prohibited to cook from Yontif to Shabbos. This is an Issur d'Rabbanan. It's from the rabbis. Because if you cook from Yontif to Shabbos, you may cook from Yontif to a weekday. Okay, and therefore, since this is d'Rabbanan, in order because you may be confused, if you make this reminder, if you lean on the Erev Tav Shilin, which you place on Wednesday, on this cooked item which you place on Wednesday, so then it's going to be permitted. Okay, and this is called an Erev Tav Shilin. This reminder is called an Erev Tav Shilin. Okay? So, if you look carefully, what I want to point out is he states it a little bit differently. Is that in Erev Tav Shilin, it's prohibited until you make an Erev. Okay? You're not prohibited to carry until you make an Erev.
You are prohibited to carry.
Yeah, you are prohibited to carry until you make an Erev. I mean, until means if you don't, then you're prohibited, right? Prohibited until you make an Erev. In this, by Teres Hashilin, he says, you're prohibited to cook. Oh, and there, but if you make an Erev, then it's permitted. Okay? And remember another thing. So I'm saying, is there a difference there? I mean, that's one question. Is there a difference between those two? Why doesn't he say by Erev Chatzeres also? Everyone said that Shlomo set up that it's prohibited. And, oh yeah, by the way, Shlomo set up that if you make this thing, then it's permitted. Erev, like, it almost sounds like in Shlomo's setup that it's prohibited to carry until you make an Erev. I mean, what's an Erev? I mean, like, it's almost like in Shlomo's thing, it's like there was already this thing called Erev. It's like prohibited to carry until you make an Erev. Whereas I would have said, no, Shlomo set up is prohibited. And then Shlomo set up another thing that if you make an Erev, that's a permit. I mean, that's a permit of the prohibition. That would be the structure. But he doesn't say that. He says, like, that it's prohibited to carry until you make an Erev. Okay, until you make an Erev. So it's almost like built into the prohibition is that it's prohibited to do it unless, until you have an Erev. So why is that? What's the difference? Okay? By Erev Chatzeres, by Erev Tav Shilin, he doesn't really say that. This is prohibited, and it's derabanan. And therefore, if you make this other thing, then it's permitted. I mean, then it's permitted. If you make an Erev, then it's permitted. And then he says, by Erev Tav Shilin, remember this from yesterday, why is it called an Erev? Because just like an Erev Chatzeres is a reminder, so too this is a reminder. Right? And remember that Ravid, who says that he doesn't like that. Okay. So the question is, what is this difference point to? Okay, what is the difference point to? Okay, something like this is, I'm going to start there. It's like, what's the... I'm similar to what David here is saying, but developed a little bit more. Is that what's the what are the categories here? Let's just say, I want to clarify the categories in the Rambam. Chova, Ina Chova, and Diki Derer Shas. Okay? Chova, we know. Chova is a Chova. Okay, it's an obligation. Okay? Then you have something which is not an obligation, but there's a kiyum. Ina Chova means that there's like a halachic fulfillment. If you do it, so to speak, I'm talking, I said it halachically, there's a kiyum, but just to describe it maybe in a philosophical sense or whatever, there's like a perfection in doing this action. It's a good thing to do. If you do it, there's a halachic fulfillment. You're fulfilling a mitzvah. You have to, or you don't have to. But you're involved in a halachic fulfillment. You're
that's
doing
nothing.
You're not doing, well, there's a benefit to you. You're involved in
right,
it. You get it. Right. Right. As opposed to, what I mean, as opposed to, let's say, you're slaughtering. Slaughtering, you're not getting a kiyum mitzvah. You're not fulfilling a commandment when you do slaughtering. Slaughtering just makes meat kosher. Meat is treif, and if you want it to be kosher, you slaughter it. You don't, so to speak, get like, there's no kiyum mitzvah that I did shechita. It's not that kind of a thing. It's the way to make the thing kosher. So there's no benefit. You're not involved. There's no kiyum mitzvah that you, there's a perfection that you did this action. There's no perfection in the action. It's just an action which has an effect. It's like, I think the Rav called this a machshir. Okay? It's a machshir. It makes the meat kosher. Until Zidai, it makes your meat, it makes your hands able to be eaten with. You don't say, wow, great, I washed my hands. It's not, no, it's, if you want to eat bread, then you have to wash your hands. You don't wash your hands. You don't get anything. There's no fulfillment in washing your hands. It's just, it makes your hands fit. If you don't want your hands to be fit, then don't make them fit. I don't care, whatever, who cares? But there could be a mitzvah, which is a fulfillment. There's a benefit. So let's say mezuzah. I mean, mezuzah isn't exactly that example. But in putting up mezuzah, you're qualifying the house as a house which reflects ideas and God and all that, and that's what, there's a benefit to that. Now, it's true that's also mandatory in certain instances. Certain instances, it isn't. But the idea is that in a chovah means that if a mitzvah is either an obligation or it's not an obligation, but there's a kiyum in the thing. There's a you're involved in a halachic halachic institution, so then you could say left.
I'm saying
both. Right, exactly. In other words, but you see, you couldn't say if there's a halachic fulfillment, you couldn't say it's kederishos. Kederishos means it's like totally plain, regular stuff. You're just making meat kosher. It's just a plain thing. It's nothing to do with mitzvahs even. It's just, I mean, it's true. It's the institution which Torah set up. But it's like a person relates to it as it's not like a religious activity. I mean, you're just making me kosher. It's not al hakiyam. But once it's al hakiyam, even if you're not obligated, even if it's enough ova, it's not a, even if it's not a chiyam, but if you're involved in a halachic fulfillment, you're doing something of value halachically to you, so then you could say, Ma'asher Kedushan V'Sos V'Tzana, you commanded us to do this. Doesn't mean it's mandatory. It means you're involved in like the perfections of the halacha, and there's a kiyum mitzvah. There's no kiyum mitzvah when you do a shechita, when you slaughter.
You're going along.
Like I'm saying, it's like saying
it's not a shechita yishanu.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's not a let. It means God commands to do this thing. It means, so to speak, God, so to speak, it has a semantical sound. God wants you to do this thing. You should be doing this. There's a benefit to be doing this thing. So if you're a zechova, then of course God wants you to be doing it. And even if it's not a chova, it's not mandatory. But there's a halachic benefit. There's a kiyum mitzvah in doing it, so God commanded you to do it. Do you have to under all conditions? No, but it's commanded you to do it. This is a good thing to do, and God commanded us to do it. Now, always, no, it depends. There are times, sometimes yes, sometimes no. But it's a halachic fulfillment. I'm involved in a benefit. But if you just do shechita, God didn't command us to slaughter. You never have to slaughter. There's no benefit in slaughter. Just if you want meat to be kosher, He makes meat kosher. Okay. Now, so if that's the case, I mean, this will be clear. I'm talking in the abstract because I don't have a case yet. What's, you know, fine. Yeah, let's do it. But, so now, if that's the case, what is the benefit in Erev Tosh? Let's start with the easy ones. So in Erev Tchumim, there's no benefit or perfection or anything in setting up and extending your travel boundaries on Shabbos. It's just that if you're not allowed to carry more than 2,000 amos from whenever you set up shop on Erev Shabbos, which is, if you don't do anything, your shop is your house. But if you put an Erev down, then your shop is 2,000 amos, wherever you put your Erev. There's no benefit to doing that. There's no anything in doing that. It simply permits you to carry in a different place. You could have carried in these 4,000 amos. Now you're carrying these. It doesn't do anything for you.
Carry or go?
Go. I'm sorry, not go. Carry. Not carry. Go. Erev Tchum is just how far you go. But now, similarly, in cooking on Shabbos, cooking on from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Cooking on Yom Tov to Shabbos, the Rabbanim set up, you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Okay? You're not allowed to. It's prohibition. But they set up, since the whole reason why they set it up is because you're going to get confused and you're going to cook from Yontif to weekday. Chol. So they also set up that if you make a reminder, then it is permitted. So the role of the Erev is permitting you to cook. His role is, it's a permit. Okay, it's a matir. It's a matir of you to cook. There's an Isser, the Rabbanan set up, and then there's a matir. Okay, they set up a built-in, a matir, a permit for you to cook. So the role, you're not involved in the perfection by doing the thing. It's simply halachically, its role is a permit. Just like you're permitting you to eat this meat if you slaughter it, but you get to cook on Yantar for Shabbos if you put an Erev Tavshil. It's not a perfection, it's not a kima mitzvah. It's simply a permit. Okay? It's allowing you to washing your hands allows you to eat bread, slaughtering allows you to eat meat, putting an Erev allows you to cook from Yantar for Shabbos. Okay? And therefore there's no perfection, there's not anything you have to say out. But the thing is like this, is that's not the structure of Erev Tavshil. Erev Chatzeros with a courtyard. It's not that he said there's an Erev, there's an Isser to carry, and then there's a permit. Okay? But what's the deal here? And maybe this is just a way to describe it. Let's say before Shlomo came along. Okay? I'm just describing it this way, that this isn't what I mean halakhically, but I'm just going to describe it for you just to see where I'm getting at. So before Shlomo came along, from the Torah, there's already an institution of guarding Shabbos. Okay? Shmiras Shabbos, guarding Shabbos. Like, to make a fence, to protect Shabbos, to make sure people don't violate it. Shabbos is a very important mitzvah, and you shouldn't violate it. And even when the Rabbanon set up gezeros to protect Shabbos, that's the Rabbanon setting it up. But if a person knows, sees that he's prone to making a mistake, then a person should do that. If he knows that he's going to make a given error, or he's going to cook, if whatever, then he should do something about it. That's true. There's an idea of guarding Shabbos, protecting yourself from violating Shabbos. The Rabbanon formalized that through certain setups. But if you know every time that you go in your kitchen, you turn on the oven, and they'll go in your kitchen, or whatever, you know, something like that. If you, right? That kind of thing. So, the thing is like this, is that you have in a courtyard a michshol, a stumbling block. Okay? Even before Shlomo came along, it's intrinsic in these courtyards, because a courtyard is a place which is a functions for the rabbi, functions for a group, for many. Okay? It's a courtyard, it's a place which functions for the many. And that's what a courtyard is. It's a courtyard is a location which people use. It's not something if you want to use it. That's what a courtyard is. People use courtyards. They carry stuff in their courtyards. That's what happens. It's a place which functions for the many. And in the Torah, you do use it on Shabbos. Why not? In Torah, it's a place which is this designated for the function of people carrying in and out or whatever. It's one big private domain in Torah, but this is the part of the private domain which is functions for the many. And functions for the many, shmecks of Erishas HaRabim. Okay? It sounds like, it feels like, in personal psychology, it looks like a public domain. Indistinguishable. How is it distinguished? Are there walls or are there not walls? That's not, in terms of the function of the location, would be prone to classifying Rishuyos domains based upon their function, not based upon whether or not there are walls at some distance away. Okay, and it feels like a public domain. There's 100 people in this courtyard who are using it, every house, all the houses, it feels like a public domain. Okay, a person doesn't differentiate based upon the struggle of all the halakhic distinctions. So basically, that's a stumbling block. Okay, now again, so therefore, if a person would want to, so to speak, before someone came along, be careful about it and not carry in there, that would be legitimate. Okay, that would be legitimate. But a person also could do, would be a good idea to do, is to make an Erev. Okay, that would also be legitimate before Shlomo came along. Because the Erev isn't just a purely halachically concocted thing. The Erev actually says something. It has content. It expresses an idea, which the Ram says it expresses an idea. The Ram doesn't just say, the Erev is a matir. What's the Ram saying? What is this Erev? The Erev says, just like we're all joined together. What do you mean? What does the Ram just say? The Erev is a matir. He doesn't explain it. By Erev Tavshil, he doesn't explain the whole logic. He just says, if you have this Erev, it works. He doesn't explain it. It's an Erev. An Erev is a matir. Just say, Erev makes a matir. It's a permit. No, the Erev as actually expressing an idea. It's something which expresses an idea that we're all together here. This is all one private domain. We're making an expression of the fact that even though we're functioning, this courtyard functions for many, it's that we're all together. We're all one. This is really private. This isn't public. So the Erev, it actually has a conceptual content to it. It's expressing an idea, and if someone would place an Erev back in the day, even before Shlomo, he'd be involved in guarding Shabbos. He'd be involved in the halachic institution of protecting Shabbos. Okay, there's a perfection in that. He's protecting Shabbos. Protecting Shabbos is a kiyum. He's doing a positive thing to guard Shabbos. Okay? Refraining from carrying, but why would he refrain? He'd just make an Erev, and he'd do that. In fact, that's why, for instance, now the issue now Shlomo did is he didn't just leave this up to a person's own say-so, but he said that whenever you have a courtyard which is a mechshol, which is a stumbling block, a publicly, you know, a courtyard which appears to be a Rosh Hashanah is prohibited to carry it. Now, if you make an Erev of Hatzeros, then it doesn't appear to be public, and then it appears to be private, because the Erev already does that. So, and if, for instance, if you're a one big caravan traveling together, it also doesn't appear to be public, then you don't even need an Erev. But there's a reality here of the Erev isn't just some halachic mechanism, which is a permit, which is a halachic technical permit to carry, but the Erev is a expresses an idea of guarding Shabbos, teaches people the nature of the carrying here, and says this is not a carrying of Shabbos, but this is really a carrying that is all under Shabbos. So in placing the Erev, you're involved in a positive institution of Shmira Shabbos, of guarding Shabbos. It's not just that it's a permit. It's not set up as a permit. In fact, it's set up as, it's not even set up that Shlomo set up Erev. It's almost like it's usher to carry in here until you make an Erev. What Erev? No, an Erev is a phenomenon. An Erev is an idea of expressing the nature of this domain. An Erev is expressing is something which guards Shabbos. So when a person places an Erev, he's involved in guarding Shabbos. See, when you place an Erev Tavshilin, it doesn't express anything. And that's why the Rambam doesn't pretend that it expresses anything. It could have. I mean, the Ravid learns it does. But the Rambam says it's purely just a reminder. Purely just like a matir.
Is that because there's no idea of Shmira? Or?
I don't know. I don't know why. It's just not the way it was set up. It wasn't set up that way. As there, it was basically by Yontif. The way it happened by Yontif was that Yontif, that's not the case by Erev Tavshilin. Yontif is that everyone knows that Erev Chatzeros. And that's what he said. Is that just like. Right, remember the Rambam said, just like Erev Chatzeros is for a reminder, so too Erev Tzitzit. See, everyone knows that Erev Chatzeros is a reminder. Because Erev Chatzeros talks to you. Erev Chatzeros expresses an idea. Everyone knows that. Everyone from the days of Shlomo, and perhaps even before, that's what Erev is. Everyone knows that. That's what Erev is. Erev Chatzeros, the word Erev, point is Erev. Generically, that's the first Erev. That points to Erev. That's Erev Chatzeros, which is a reminder. Now, what the Rabbanon set up, is there's an issur to carry on there's an issur to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and unless you set up a reminder, okay? And the how does the Erev Tavshilin function as a reminder? Not because it's joining anything together, but simply because you're putting down this thing which is called Erev, and Erev brings to mind that this is a reminder that this is something's going on here. Look into this thing more carefully. And what it reminds you of is that we're only allowed to cook on Yom Tov to Shabbos because we have an Erev, we have an Erev Tavshilin. But on Yom Tov to Chol, where there's no such institution, we can't do it. So the Rambam does not explain what the mechanism in Erev Tavshilin is, because according to the Rambam, it's purely a matir. It doesn't talk to you and explain a whole thing that, well, we're joining together, the whatever. It's purely just a reminder. It's a reminder that you're only allowed to cook now. You think you're allowed to cook for Yom Tov to other days? You're only allowed to do it because you have this Erev. What does it do? I don't know. Chazal set up whatever it is. The Rambam doesn't tell you what it does. It doesn't explain anything to you. It's just a reminder that you're only allowed to cook under these specific conditions. So it's a matir. And that's why the Rambam doesn't Ram doesn't explain what it's for or whatever it is by. The name, according to the Ram, it's not being ma'arev or joining anything. It's purely just reminding you that you're only allowed to cook now because you have this Erev. Because this is a special circumstance, the end of the Shabbos. And not, but that's all you have to know, because you have an Erev, and everyone knows you can't place Erevs on a regular Yom Tov. That's not the nature of the institution. Set up, and when you set up an Erev for Yom Tov to Shabbos.
Is that because?
I'm not explaining why it is. I don't know why it is that when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, the Erev Chatzeros was set up, that it talks to you, expresses an idea, and it's an institution of guarding Shabbos, versus by Erev Tavshilin, It doesn't express anything, but it's simply set up as a matir. I'm just deducing.
So it says not a kiyum.
I'm deducing with the what from the way the Rambam sets it up. I don't know why, but I'm just saying is from the Rambam, the way Erev Tavshilin is set up is not as a kiyum, is not as a fulfillment, but simply as there's an isser, and here's a permit. And when you do it, you're not involved in teaching anything, you're not involved in expressing and guarding, you're simply permitting yourself to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. If you want to cook, cook. If you don't want to cook, here's a permit. It's a technical mechanism of a matir. And the matir is that it's a reminder. A reminder that you're only allowed to do it because you have this thing, and then it will turn out that no one's going to violate Shabbos. But you're not involved in expressing anything or in any permit, in any idea, and there's no kiyam. And therefore, there's no bracha. It's kedivir shos. It's totally an optional thing. If you want to cook, you cook. You don't want to cook, you don't cook. If you want to cook, then you need a permit. If you don't use the permit, you can't cook.
You don't think that's a step that we need to take to explain why that should be?
I don't know. But by Erev Chatzeros, that's not the way it was set up. By Erev Chatzeros, it was set up that it's not just that there's an isser, but there's a phenomenon of an Erev which is a kiyum. Expresses an idea which guards the Shabbos because it shows that the nature of the carrying in this courtyard, it basically demonstrates that this is a private domain. Erev is not a matir. That's what I'm saying. Erev isn't a matir. Erev Chatzeros is not a matir. It's an expression of the fact that this is a private domain, and there is no isser in that kind of a thing. It simply precludes the isser. Okay, because the isser is to carry in
that,
a place, in a place that looks like a public domain, and an Erev is a positive institution which undermines the Esser, because now it doesn't look that way. So what is an Erev then? What's its role halachically if it's not a matir? So its role is that it's a kiyum in Shmir Shabbos. It teaches, expresses the fact that our carrying in here is not in violation of Shabbos. It's really Rosh Hashanah. So it's a positive, and when a person does it, he's involved in a positive institution. Courtyards, and what Yehuda said is true. Courtyards are places which people use. So, and the Torah, and it's not saying that you shouldn't use it. It's almost like Shlomo never intended for you not to do an Erev. Shlomo never intended to set up an Isser even. Shlomo intended for you to make an Erev. It's also to carry until you make an Erev. Until you make an Erev means you're supposed to make an Erev. He's not setting up that as an Isser. He doesn't want anyone to not do it. His saying is that it's also to do it until you express this positive idea. So now when you express this positive idea, you're involved in a fulfillment, and therefore it's a mitzvah. It's not mandatory, but it is a positive idea, and therefore it should get a bracha. And it could have had a leah, if not for the fact that you're doing it for yourself and for others, and the Rambam says that whole deal, the yourself and others deal. But by Erev Tavshilin, there's a bit of an isser. It doesn't say it's usser until, it's isser. The Rambam set up an isser. The Rambam said it's usser. Okay, but it's Darabonon, and since Darabonon, there's a permit. So you can do a permit. You don't have to cook if you're not planning on cooking. If you're just a guy in yeshiva, whatever. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prepare. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to set up anything. There's a kiyum in placing, right? There's a kiyum in placing the Erev Chatzeros. There's no kiyum. Yeah, I guess, even if you don't need it. But if you don't need it, then it's not the courtyard. It's just simply not a courtyard of people. Of a michshal, because it's simply an unused courtyard. Like it's just
no,
to go.
I'll say it normally is, but
right, so that's what I'm saying is that according to the Rambam, so the Erev Chatzeros is a kiyum. So since it's a kiyum, so therefore you could imagine saying le, but the only reason you don't is because it happens to be. It's always for you and for others. But by Erev Tavshilin, where it's not set up as a kiyum, it's purely as a matir. So it's the same thing as slaughtering, and my matir is the meat. Permits the meat. It's the matir you eat bread when you wash your hands. Matters you to walk outside the tchum if you place a tchum, because in a tchum it matters you to cook if you place an Erev Tavshilin. So that doesn't, that's not, so that therefore there's no kiyum, and therefore it's like, it would be like the verishos. Therefore, even if you do it for yourself, you're going to say, al. Even if you do it for yourself, you're going to say al. Yeah, once, now David asks, do you have to go further to why it is that way? I mean, the reason why, it would be nice, but the problem is we're not, well, it may be unsatisfying, but sometimes you have to be unsatisfied, unless you want to learn through the sugya more of the Erev Chatzeros and the sugya of Tashila and figure out. You're not in those sugyas. So, I mean, why it is that, I mean, maybe about why doesn't the Rambam like what the Ravid did? I mean, the Ravid, in theory, maybe, you know, could, maybe the Ravid is saying it is a kiyum. Maybe he's saying, remember, the Ravid says that you're joining together the needs of Shabbos and the end of Yontif. So it's like you're beginning to prepare for Shabbos and for Yontif on Wednesday, and therefore you're somehow joining them together. So he's saying it is. He doesn't like saying Erev is just a technical name. Rambam's specifically making it like a technical name, and
that
it's just a permit.
Thing, right?
Yeah, the child. Rambam's saying, yeah, so the Ravid says it's childish, because the Ravid holds that Erev expresses the concept, just like Erev Chatzeros expresses a concept, Erev Tchum expresses a concept, Erev Tavshil expresses a concept.
Yeah,
the Rambam's not learning Erev Tavshil expresses a concept. It's a permit. What word do you want? You want to use a word, call it something that reminds you that it's a reminder. The permit is because there's a reminder. You want to choose a word that brings to mind the reminder. Everyone knows Erev Chatzeros is a reminder, so you choose a word, Erev, from the Erev Tavshilin. But it's not the exact same structure, it just brings to mind that it's a reminder. But it's not, there's no independent conceptual statement in the Erev Tavshilin. It's purely a permit because it's a reminder. How does it function as a reminder? The only way is because it has a name which calls to mind the reminder. Everyone knows, just like an Erev Tchaseras is a reminder, this is a reminder. So you think Erev, you think it's a reminder, you realize that. So what I'm saying is that, so why didn't the Rambam say that Erev Tchavshilin had a bigger conceptual content to it? I don't know, but he certainly isn't from the, you see from the naming of it. The Ravid did. Some reason maybe the Rambam didn't like that. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. You have to get into Seir Tashil.
No,
that's
I
not our
sugya.
So,
yeah.
But I think I'm just saying careful reading of the Rambams tells you what the Rambam holds and why he held it as a different question. What I'd like to do next is, remember we didn't get to the matzah? Remember that question? Matzah Mara? I mentioned here, Rabbi Zikr, an answer, whatever, matzah.
Oh, yeah.
Why the Rambam says, Alchias Matzah, Alchias Mara? Because
right.
It's one question.
So
why not say, Le, you do it for yourself, you're doing it before, all that stuff. Why not say le? And then also, you could look at...
Where does he have? Is that in Vav or in Ches? Okay,
I don't know. Ches, I think. You could look for it.
Okay.
Then also, you could look at the Rambam says on Shel Rosh of Tefillin. I mean, we kind of talked about this in different Rishon, but on the Tefillin Shel Rosh, when you put on the Shel Rosh, the Rambam says, Al Mitzvah Tefillin. He should say le. He says Al. You take that up. And another problem you can look at the Ravid. Look at the Ravid where he talks about Megillah and Hanukkah. Okay, maybe we'll try to take that up also. Let's see. The Ravid is on Yud Aleph Tazvav, where he wants to know. Because in Erech Hanukkah you say Lahad, look, he's doing it for yourself. Doing it for yourself is before the thing. But why don't you say by Megillah, Lishmo Mikra Megillah? Because you're doing it for yourself and for others. And it's a Chovah. Then Dori, so why doesn't the Ram say Lishmo Mikra Megillah? Why say Al Mikra Megillah? Or I'm sorry, Likros Megillah. Why does he say Al Kriyas Megillah? He should say Likros Megillah. Right? So that's the Ravid. You look at the Ravid there. He gives an answer based on the Rabbanon, but it's very tricky to know what he's talking about. So it's the Ravid, it's the second Ravid on Tesvav. Yeah. Okay. So we'll hopefully continue tomorrow.